This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 157, Die Hard 3 with a Vengeance. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and my co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, guys, so now we're continuing on with the Die Hard franchise watch through. Now we hit the third installment into the Die Hard franchise. Now, it's always rare for a third movie to be good or sucks ass. So we're gonna actually give you guys our actual review on, is this movie actually really good or really bad? Nate, how long has it been since you've seen Die Hard 3?
6-7 years. It's been a little bit, but I actually saw this movie in the theater when I was a child. I remember my parents kept covering my ears because there's a lot of F-bombs in this. And it was one of those times where like my parents didn't go to movies a lot. So they didn't always know, you know, content. So they would just take me to stuff. And I remember seeing this in a theater, and I've seen it 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, for me, in terms of the diehards, it's hard for me to go into the sequels. This is my wife's favorite franchise, so she watches it more than I do. So for me, I will say this is like 2 to 3 years. Because when I put this on, I was like, wow, it's been a while. When you sit down and you start watching it, I'm like, this has been a while. But remember, before we go on, remember the video game that came out for PlayStation? That you in the taxi cab
and
you
had it on my Sega Saturn. Yeah, okay. It's a Die Hard trilogy. Yes. The first one, it's like a top down shooter, and you're in Nakatomi Plaza and you go floor to floor. The second game, it was like a rail shooter, right? You had the gun and it would like shoot the guys in the airport and like virtual cop. Yeah. And then the third game was like a driving game where you drive the taxi. You
have my favorite.
I had that game. I had it.
It was my favorite Die Hard game. I you know, it's kind of weird for an IP. They never made a Die Hard video game. Well, the technology we have now.
They had an arcade. Oh, they haven't done one recent. Yeah, they had an arcade game that was really awesome. It was like a beat 'em up, but with guns. But for home console, it's just that. And it's hit or miss. Like Die Hard 2 game sucks. But 1 and 3 were really fun.
No, it was very fun. But anyway, for those of you out there, we're going to give you guys a Rotten Tomatoes scores right now for Die Hard 3 from 1995. And then we're going to go right into our actual movie reviews because I can't wait to dive into this actual breakdown. So with that said, let's get right into the critics and audience and see what they had to say with Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Nate. Yeah, a little surprising in my opinion. One of these is surprising and one of them is not that surprising. The critic score is a little surprising to me. This one has a 59% critic score. So it's lower, well, way lower than Die Hard 1. It's lower than Die Hard 2 at 59. Audience score, not that surprising. The audience score is an 83. So that's more in line of what I would think. Yeah. Spoiler alert. But, you know, it's weird that this has such a low critic score. I don't get it.
Man, let
what
me just
watching?
Tell you.
I don't know.
I think they love Die Hard 2 more, I guess.
Faker. Yeah, that what is this?
It's so weird, right? Because, well, we're going to talk about, we're going to break it down for you guys. But it's just a weird thing. But I kind of knew that I thought the critics were going to be like in the 70s. I was going to predict.
Same.
Yeah.
When I went to get the numbers, I was like, okay, this is going to be higher than 2. And it's lower by a little bit.
Hey, that's kind of horrible. Anyway, let's get right into the actual movie review because I can't wait to talk about it. Now, this movie's kind of different. I don't know how Nate's going to score this one, but it's kind of different between Die Hard 1 and 2. I say Samuel Jackson is the lead character because he is with John McClane almost through the whole film. To be honest with you. So
you want to score them both?
I think so for this movie because it's John
McClane like
and Zeus going through the entire movie. So with that said, lead character, Bruce Willis as John McClane and then Samuel L. Jackson as Zeus, Nate.
Five. Love it. I love it. I mean, I gave John McClane a 5 in both of the last two and I like him better in this one than I do in part 2. So his score wasn't going to go down. And Samuel Jackson, what year is this? 95, right?
95, yeah.
Oh, so 95 Samuel Jackson was prime Samuel Jackson, in my opinion. I still think he's great now, but I feel like the mid to late 90s, in the very early 2000s, he was very prime, in my opinion. So I love Samuel Jackson this. I love them together. I love their banter. I love all the race. You know what's funny? This movie plays pretty well now as far as the racial, you know, like, the climate, the social climate and things like that.
Yeah.
This is, it's funny to watch something that's 27 years old and that still has like, you're talking about some of the same stuff as far as race goes. You know what I mean? So that was interesting, but I love the two of them together. I love that Samuel Jackson, like, he goes to, when he first meets him, he's almost trying to help. Like, he's like, what are you doing, man? And then he tries to help him, and then he hates him, and then they become friends, but then he still kind of hates him, and then they become friends. And it's essentially a buddy cop movie. You know, Zeus is not a cop. He's just a store owner.
Yeah.
But I love McClane in this. I think he's more like an angry drunk version of the John McClane from the first movie than from the second movie. He's less funny. Remember in the second one, he did more jokes. There's always humor. He always has some humor, but this one felt more like John McClane from Die Hard, except now he's a sad alcoholic because his wife left him, like, all the way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the scene where he goes to call her on the phone and he just leaves. And then later he realizes it. Oh, I left Holly on the payphone. Like, you know, I love all those little nods. Maybe this is because John McTiernan directed this one and he also directed the first one. So it felt a little more like the character to me. But I love their chemistry. It's a 5. I have no problems with them.
Look, let me just tell you, my friend, everything you said is right. But I'm going to quote my man Eminem's when he said back to reality. Okay. Because, man, let me tell you, we went back to Die Hard 1, baby. And this is what I was talking about. The character feels like John McClane. And that's what I wanted. Part 2 did not feel like John McClane. To me, John McClane in Part 2 was John McClane. I think it would happen in 3. Because this one felt like a sequel to my man Part 1, John McClane. You're absolutely right. He's a drunk. Holly left him. We don't know why. I mean, we kind of know why he left. But we don't know why in the film. And it worked. The character evolved. Like I talked about, every time we talk about these sequels, the character development got better in this movie. He is a New York cop. He's a drunk. He has a migraine throughout the entire film. And guess what? Some terrorist is picking this guy. And he's like, why me? And he's all like, he goes to Harlem. He puts, I hate the N-word. I'm not going to say it here. But he's there. And then Samuel Jackson comes out. And I love it. My favorite part with those two is when he saves him and he's in the taxi cab. He goes, hey, Zeus. He goes, stop calling me Hey Zeus. Do I look Puerto Rican to you?
Oh my God. That scene is so funny.
It is. He keeps calling him
Hey Zeus. He's like, why do you keep calling me that? And he's like, well, they said that Hey Zeus. He's like, they said Hey Zeus.
Yeah. Like Zeus. Yeah. The Apollos, set a lightning bolt up your ass. That's
Zeus. Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It's a good, that's such great. But, you know, throughout the movie, they have great iconic scenes between each other. Mm-hmm. Again, their chemistry works so well. And it tells you the type of actors Samuel Jackson and Bruce Willis is when they come together. Because honestly, if I'm a network or a studio, I would have greenlit a buddy cop movie with those two. As different action icons, like different, it's not John McClane, not, you know, Zeus. It would be someone else. And they could have spawned something new as a buddy cop. Missed opportunity, to be honest with you. But man, let me just tell you, this movie is golden with those two. I loved it. It worked for me. Now, I gave John McClane 4.5, I believe, for Part 2 because I knocked it down because he sucked ass there. But in this one, he went right back to a 5 because he was actually really good. Samuel Jackson added the seasoning into this ingredient to make it even better. So I gave 5 across the board on this one. All right, main villain, Jeremy Irons as Simon P. Gruber.
Simon Gruber.
Yeah, I don't know the
name. He has another name, but his real name is Simon Gruber.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, smart move. They made a lot of smart moves with this movie, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. They made a lot of smart moves. They said, okay, 2 was good. Like, I mean, 2 was a success. As we heard, the reviews were good. It made money. It's not like 2 is a piece of trash. It was still, they still were able to like learn some things from it, I feel like.
Yeah.
Let's bring back John McTiernan, right? Rennie Harlan did a fine job. Let's bring back the original director. Let's, this feels like Die Hard 2. You're right. Like, this feels like, if you didn't watch Die Hard 2 and you just went from 1 to this, everything makes sense. Everything works. It doesn't really, you don't really need to. Right. But one of the things that they were smart to do was to make another great villain. Jeremy Irons, amazing. I mean, Hans Gruber, I think is better, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to give this one a lower score because he's also great. He's just like, if I had to rank him, I'd put Hans and then Simon. Simon's number 2. Simon said the whole Simon Says thing, all the riddles, his German accent. When he goes around and he's like acting and he does like American accent, and he's talking with people. I just like, he did a lot too as a villain. Like, he shot people. He killed people. He did some dirty work, and he also had people under him. So he was a good mix. Like, kind of like Hans Gruber was, really. You know what I mean? I think Hans was a little more calculated, a little more chilling, but Simon was like the plus version as far as like a little more energy. I love Jeremy Irons, iconic voice, great actor, and he's going to get a 5. He's going to get a 5 for me. I love him.
Hans Gruber, right? His brother, right? That's Hans Gruber, right? Simon Gruber.
Hans was the original, yeah.
Look, listen, if you're a Gruber in that family tree, you're badass in my book. Let me just tell you, you got the older brother, or yeah, he's the older brother, and Hans is the younger brother.
Hans was the older.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I loved it. I thought he was excellent. It was good. And I love the mystery in the beginning, right? Because you really don't know what happened. Even in this one, I was just like, I mean, I knew who it was. But the way they introduced the character was perfect. You did not know who the hell he was. You just knew it was another terrorist doing whatever until the guy was like, do you remember the name Hans? And then you remember the Tokimoni Plaza. And he's like, oh, snap. And I was like, wow, this is really good. It worked very well. John McTiernan did a smart move to continue the family tree of hatred towards John McClane. It worked well. I mean, you're right. He did everything you wanted in a terrorist, right? But the difference between, I think, the brothers is that Hans actually met John McClane. Like, he had smoked with him, right? They talked to each other. Like, he was pretending to be a villain. I mean, a pedestrian. Yeah, like a hostage. Yeah. Whereas his brother Simon did not meet him. I mean, well, he did in the boat, but he met him in the boat. But I mean, they didn't have like that interaction, like a one-on-one type thing. It was only when they tied him to the boat.
Right.
Yeah. Like, you're going to, you know, bomb this whole boat into the ocean. But he was, you're right. I think the younger brother was more calculated than Simon. But they both had a heart because he did not put a bomb in the school. Like, right? Like, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Like, he did not, he wasn't going to bomb it. They're not that type of criminals.
He had so much money. I mean, he stole gold. It was awesome. It was like billions and billions of dollars.
Oh, I can't wait to talk about that in storyline. Yeah. But look, honestly, to be really honest with you, a great masterpiece of a villain for a third sequel. I think so far, I'm going to be honest with you, I keep comparing these movies between the action legend. Die Hard with a Vengeance so far has the best villain out of the three. Terminator Rise of the Machine, I think this one is way better. And then, of course, Rambo 3. Anything could be better than Rambo 3.
Anybody.
So, with that said, that's a 5 for me across the board in terms of main villain. You got a 5 there also. Okay, action scenes.
I don't want to be controversial. I don't want to be controversial, but it has good action, but not a 5 for me. Okay. It's good, but this one actually has less action, like pure action, than the first two movies do. Even less than 2, really. 2 has a lot, actually. 1 has a lot. This one has good action scenes. Like, I love the subway scene with the bomb when it goes off and the subway car comes flying down, like, very well executed. There was a moment or two, because this was now moving into the mid 90s, where there's some kind of funny green screen type stuff, mostly with him and Samuel Jackson on the boat when they're on like the, or it might have been before the boat, when they're on the street, when they're on the like the rope or whatever,
and attached it to the bridge with the truck.
Yes. Yeah. It looked kind of not amazing. And then, you know, there's some like, there's not as much explosions as you might think for a movie with full, there's a couple, but it's not like crazy. Other than that, like, there's some shooting. There's like some hand to hand stuff. I love the elevator scene. I love the elevator scene where he's in the Federal Reserve and then he realizes all the guys are fake. And then he like goes and you start shooting them all in the, I love the close quarter shooting. I'm not crazy about just guns, but that is cool to me. But where this will get some points is this one's bloody. This one, the dude gets cut in half by that cable that's going across the thing. Like, there's blood splattering there. It's R-rated, and I love my R-rated violence. So I don't think it's a 5 personally, but it's not far off. It's just under. I gave it a 4.5, but it has a little less than the other two. And I just couldn't give it the same exact score. If it had a little more, one or two more like nice set pieces, I would have been a 5 for sure for me.
Well, I don't know. I think we saw two different movies of action in this one. I like I do agree with you, but I feel like the action in this movie was very well executed, whereas 2 wasn't. I felt the quality of the action sequence felt more natural in the story going forward. The movie started off with an explosion in Manhattan, which started off the movie. So you're like, holy moly, terrorists right there. Then you got the whole John McClane, you know, going through the timeline. Yes, you're right. It doesn't have much, but I think once it does do the action sequences, it does what Lethal Weapon does well. It concentrates on the action more than the story around it. And I think that's where this one went back to Die Hard 1, where Die Hard 1 did not have much action, but the action was very well executed, that the film it catapulted the film even more, besides with the, you know, Hans Gruber and John McClane telling the story. This one, I felt it did the same exact thing as one, catapulted it a little bit more. I understand what you're saying, though. I'm not knocking you on that. I just feel like for me, it told a great story. Yeah, I mean, him riding the dump truck with the water behind him. Did it look corny? It did, but that's a 90s movie. I'm not going to lie. It's a straight up 90s movie, but it told a funny story. It was pretty good. Like, he was chasing them into the tunnel and, you know, he blew up a dam. Like, what else is going to happen? And I thought it worked.
Out of the top with the water. That was hilarious.
I thought it was like, hilarious. Yeah. But it worked, right? Like it worked. And then it got into an action sequence of the car chase, and then he spun that 180 and went pow, 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 pow. I love that scene. That scene was like so awesome when he hit the brake and he shot up everyone in the FDR, which I was like, what? Okay, cool, whatever. Like that worked for me. You know, the ending, okay. Typical action ending. I mean, you had to have him say the one-liner somewhere around there. But it, for me, it worked for this type of franchise. Like, you know, like sure. For me, like if John Wick would have ended like this, I would have been, oh, this is kind of whack. Like if it ended like this. But for Die Hard, to me, it worked because he had his one-liner. The yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. Like you already knew. You're like, okay, he's going to do it somewhere in this movie. Where and how is he going to execute it? I thought they did it pretty well. You're right. Is there more set pieces? I don't know. I think they had enough set pieces. Him driving through the Central Park. That thing was like, I mean, and they really drove through Central Park. It wasn't no, like they literally tore up this in New York doing these scenes. I thought it worked very well for me. I'm not knocking you on it. So I gave it a perfect 5. I thought the action worked very well for this movie. Yeah. Okay, storyline.
Okay, so the storyline's good. I think the story. Okay, so the storyline I think is really good. It's really strong in my opinion. It's not. It's close to one. This in a lot of ways is close to the first Die Hard for me. Like they're not. There's not a huge gap in my opinion, which is again why I think it's so crazy that this has a 59% critics reviews. I don't get it. Maybe they're like, well, we already saw something like this and it's more of the same. Maybe. But if you're telling me more of the same of something delicious, then give me more delicious stuff. You know what I'm saying? If you got a piece of cake and it tastes good, give me two slices. I want two slices of that cake. So give me the Die Hard cake. And they did. The storyline's really good. I love the puzzles. Personally, it almost made it like a mixture of an action movie and like an adventure film where, you know, they have to solve puzzles and stuff. Yeah. It's like a video game, you know? We're like, okay, we get to the next puzzle. We got to do the seven wives and seven bags and seven chickens and whatever. And we got to figure out the thing. And then the, seven wives and seven yeah, the puzzle, the first one. And then there's the gallons one. And then there's, you know, there's a bunch and they're fun and they're good. I'm going to save one thing. I do have gripes. But I'll save it for overall. The storyline is strong, not perfect, but very, very good. Another 4.5 for me. Just right there.
Well, you know what? I'm going to continue my 5 train because this is taking the 5 train. Honestly, I think this is, again, I have gripes with the plot. I don't want people to be like, oh, no, there is plot holes in the plot. But this is my reasoning why I gave this a 5. This is by far the best third movie into a sequel franchise. I could put this up with any of them, okay? Rush Hour 3, garbage. Lethal Weapon 3, not as strong as this. Rambo 3, garbage. Terminator Rise of the Machines, hit or miss, but Born this one is 100 times better. Born Ultimatum, yeah, it was good, but I think not this one is better.
But it was good.
Yes, it was good. But again, it's a rare thing when you have a franchise that 3 could maybe outdo 1 to some people. Like, this could outdo Die Hard 1 in some people's eyes, you know? But to me, the reason why I gave it a 5 is because it's equal to Die Hard 1. I think Die Hard 1 is still a little bit more superior than this, but I think it's an equal to the first movie. In action, this has more action than the first one, but the action is still well done that you're like, wow, the villain is his brother. So you're like, holy crap. It makes sense. The storyline makes sense. Why is John McClane thrown back into this? Wrong place at the wrong time? No. He killed the guy's brother. He wants revenge. It's a revenge story. It worked very well. Did the character develop? Absolutely it did. John McClane is like, he's a bum at this point, to be honest with you. And he's a lieutenant in New York City. So for me, personally, with everything together, I had to give it a perfect because honestly, this is one of the best third movies into a franchise, and it's so rare to find, to be honest with you. I mean, I know a lot of people are going to, oh, you nuts, but I don't think so. I think I could...
Oh,
I could,
your opinion.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, yeah. Hands down, you can't tell me which third ones are the best. You know what I mean? And you can't give me superhero movies, because that's not even what we're talking about. So anyway, that said, I gave it a 5. You gave it a 4.5 overall.
Yeah. Okay, so overall, I have some problems with this movie. Number one, okay, first of all, other things I love that we haven't talked about. I love that it's set in New York. Finally, a New York cop in a New York movie. I love New York movies. I always have. New York's my favorite setting for movies. I just think it's the best big city you can use. And there's so much you can do. I love it. Number two, John McClane, NYPD cop, but never was in NYPD or never was in New York in any of the movies. Finally, they did. And also, this is the first one where he's not confined to one location. So, you know, first movie's in the plaza, second movie's in the airport, an airplane, you know, like it's in the same area. This is the first one that really he goes all over the place. He's going in tunnels and bridges and driving in Central Park and going to Harlem and going, and there's schools and they actually leave him. You know, the first two movies, they leave him only to go to like Carl Winslow and like talk to him and stuff like that and show the villain. Here, there's literally other cops doing other stuff, you know, like the bomb squad scene at the school where they're trying to like, you know, defuse the bomb and whatever, all that kind of stuff. So it was interesting. Here's my gripes. With this runtime, to me, there are a lot of... It starts off so good, and then it does hit a bit of a lull where it's a lot less fast-paced than it started off. I feel like the first act, amazing, and the third act is really, really good. The second act, it's good, like it gets you where you need to go, but to me, they stopped the puzzle angle too early. Like, about an hour in, there's no more of the Simon Says, you know, whatever. It just becomes John McClane going after him, you know, like chasing him. And the chasing is less interesting to me than him trying to like solve these things while they're trying to, I don't know. I like the first act and a half maybe better. Once it becomes a chase movie, it's not as fun to me. Like once they get to the boats and when the action's still cool, but it's not as much of the cat and mouse that I enjoyed in the first half, you know, the phone calls and all that. So it's always been my issue with the movie. I still like it. I love it. Actually, it's always been my second favorite Die Hard movie, but that's the reason why. It just loses a bit of steam in the second act for me. So with that said, I give it a 4 on the whole because it could have been better. I feel like there's things that I would have rather they have done, but again, I'm not a filmmaker, so who cares? But for me, it ends up being a 4 because of that, because it gets a bit draggy and all the things I loved in the first, they go away. And then it's just, like I said, it's just him going after him and he's constantly chasing him. And I don't like the ending that much. I know you touched on it. Weak. Like the way Simon Gruber goes out is totally, you know, Hans gets freaking thrown. That's such an iconic shot. Him getting thrown off the building in slow motion and... Awesome. They even do a flashback in this movie. And then this guy's on, he's out shooting on the helicopter and they blow up the helicopter. And that's it. It's just blown up. It was kind of like to me, but a 4 overall. I still love the movie.
I totally agree with you on the ending. I said it before when we were talking about it. I personally was a writer. I would have did. They took the gold into like a cargo jet plane and he got onto it and told Samuel Jackson to tell these people the coordinates of the plane or whatever somehow. And he basically crashes the plane with Simon in it and goes, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. Somehow
anything
he ties
them. Anything better.
Yeah. I think that would have been so much more iconic than him with the helicopter in a sex motel, which I was just like...
In Canada.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Didn't work for me. I totally agree with you. I'm not going to give this a 5. I mean, I know I was leaning towards the 5. I'm not giving this a 5 at all. I do agree. There's a lot of plot holes in this movie, which annoyed me. I mean, it could be nitpicks, but to me, annoyed me. Like when they were in the van and they're showing the photos of all the villains and his friend Rick, the guy who has the badge number, he basically walks and talks to Simon and he just saw the photo of him. And then he saw the photo of the dude with the sunglasses and the dude with the sunglasses was right next to him with the sunglasses. I was like, wait a minute. I was like, this cop is just so dumb because I would have been like, wait a minute. Like, aren't you like,
I would have just seen you 10 minutes ago somewhere?
Yes. That always irked me. That pisses me off all the time because I'm like, dude, you just saw these two photos in a folder and the guy is talking to you like right there and then two seconds later. Yeah, I didn't like it at all. I was like, that's why your badge number never comes out in the
that's
lotto.
That's why you die.
That's why you die, motherfucker. No, but yeah, so I don't like that scene at all. I do agree with you. There's some parts that do drag. I think the whole parts when he does the speech and when they have the gold, now we have whatever. And then he looks at the girl and they're about to have sex. And I was just like, what is this? To me, that's where it dragged. I didn't like that. So I had to knock it down 4.5. Overall, to me, this is one of the best third movies in a sequel of a franchise. All right, Nate, your total points.
I mean, 23. It's very high. Like, I love this movie. I've always loved this movie. I always told people, I think it's just like the smallest of notches below Die Hard to me. Honestly, like I love it. I think it's great. I think it's fun. It's a 90s movie. It feels like a 90s movie. It's a New York movie. Samuel Jackson is great. It's just got a lot of stuff that I really like. It's a great sequel. This is the real part two to me of Die Hard. So yeah, it's 23 out of 25.
No, I totally agree with you. I mean, I gave it a 24.5. I think this is one of the best movies so far that we're up to in the Die Hard franchise. I know we got more to go, We got two more to go before we indicate which order we're going to do this. But I like this movie a lot. I enjoyed it even watching it. And I'm now fiending for a 4K version of this film in Adobe Atmos. It needs it.
Yeah, only part one has a 4K. What is up?
I don't understand. Did it not make money? I don't get why they didn't. This
franchise is huge.
Yeah.
It is Fox, so which means it's now Disney. So who knows? But
I don't know. Yeah, no, that's pretty. I don't understand it. But look, I love this movie. This movie is actually really good, and it still holds up, which is rare. All right. With that said, Nate, what's coming up?
All right. So continuing on with our decades theme, our next show is going to be a Val Kilmer led spy thriller action movie, I guess, kind of. The Saint with Val Kilmer. And then, of course, next week, we move on to the 2000s. We're going from the 90s to the 2000s in Die Hard. They took a long break and then came back with Live Free or Die Hard. This is where they started naming them other stuff besides just Die Hard, something. So Live Free or Die Hard, starring Bruce Willis. So we're gonna be tackling that one next week.
All right, guys, if you want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie, guys, head over to youtube.com/geeksandflicks. Check out the video versions of the podcast or head over to geeksandflicks.com where we have the podcast there for you, audio and video simultaneous for your enjoyment. And of course, we have merch there. Have fun. Other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and that is
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.